key economic releases affecting fixed income yields. Insights into sectors influencing fixed income securities. How AAM plans to capitalize on these themes for your fixed income portfolio. The Portfolio Fix is a podcast series featuring members of AAM's investment and portfolio management team. We will discuss the timely issues affecting the fixed income investments of our insurance clients.
Welcome to another episode of The Portfolio Fix, a podcast series from AAM. My name is Patrick McGeever, and I'm a member of AAM's investment team. Today, as usual, I'll be speaking with Marco Bravo, who will provide AAM's latest views of the economy. And then I'll be joined by Mohammed Ahmed, senior analyst in our structured products group, who is going to speak about the green bond opportunities available within commercial mortgage-backed securities. So with that out of the way, welcome, Marco.
Thanks, Pat.
When we last spoke at the beginning of this month, we were discussing inflation, and you mentioned that the employment cost index was up more than 3% over the last 12 months, and that one of the biggest drivers of that increase was a 1.5% increase in wages and salaries, which was the highest reading in nearly 40 years. So this past week, we received another inflation data point, CPI. What was it, and what were the factors driving the change?
Sure. So the Consumer Price Index, or the CPI, came in higher than expected for the month of October. It rose 0.9% month over month, and the consensus among economists was for a 0.6% rise. So we continue to see strong monthly increases in consumer prices. And with that 0.9% month over month increase, it pushed the year over year increase to 6.2%. And that's the highest level on a year over year basis that we've seen in 30 years. So very strong inflation numbers, to say the least. And I think what's important to take away is that the increase in prices was pretty broad based and across various categories that included energy, shelter, food, and used cars. And so you have to kind of take a step back and ask the question, is inflation kind of moving into categories that can't simply be explained by supply bottlenecks? And the answer seems to be yes. So, for example, over the last 3 months, the shelter index, which represents about one third of overall CPI, is up over 4% on an annualized basis. So with this type of increase kind of moving into more broader set of categories, it definitely calls into question the Fed's belief that the rise that we've been seeing in inflation will be transitory. So definitely something to keep an eye on going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting. I've been in the camp where I've thought inflation was probably likely to be here longer than some others. But I think in the past couple of weeks, we've seen some interesting cross currents. We've seen the Baltic Dry Goods Index declined by 50% in the past 6 weeks. We've had two prominent brokers claim that the semiconductor chip shortage in the auto sector is likely over. And I think most importantly, the dollar has risen to the highest level in more than a year. So all of those items should be deflationary. But then at the same time, you mentioned energy and gasoline prices now are at the highest levels since 2014, and fertilizer prices have gone parabolic, and that feeds into higher food prices going out the next several quarters. So it'll be really fascinating to me to see what happens with inflation in 2022.
Yeah, that is interesting. But when you think about it, what consumers are experiencing right now when they fill up their car or when they go to the grocery, they're continuing to see higher prices. And that could be kind of a main contributor as to why we saw consumer sentiment decline last week, another key data point that we follow. The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index fell to a 10-year low. So we have to assume that lingering COVID risks are also playing a role with the sentiment among consumers. But another kind of key takeaway from that survey is they asked consumers what their expectations for inflation is, both near-term and long-term. Near-term, or over the next year, expectations for inflation rose modestly to 4.9%. So, and that's a reflection of what we see happening day to day. But longer term, 5 to 10 year expectations remain unchanged, just under 3%. So, you know, the Fed is looking both at actual numbers and expectations. And we think if those expectations numbers begin to drift above 3%, the market is going to, in our opinion, begin to price a more aggressive action from the Fed.
Okay, Marco, given that you said the Fed might have to act quicker than consensus, what is the market expecting right now?
Today, if we look at the Fed funds futures market, that market is currently pricing in almost 3 full rate hikes by the end of 2022. You know, Powell has continually said that he believes inflation is transitory and that we're nowhere near beginning the discussion in terms of when to raise rates. So it's something that, we in the market are paying very close attention to.
Okay. Well, that's very helpful, Marco. We'll have to keep a close eye on these inflation figures as we head into the back end of the year. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
Next up is our senior analyst in structured products, Mohammed Ahmed. Welcome, Mohammed.
Thank you, Pat.
So since the last time you spoke with us back in April, you received a well-deserved promotion. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. Thanks again.
Yep. Very well-deserved. As you know, a number of our recent podcasts have focused on solutions we can provide to insurance companies facing ESG challenges. And nearly all of our discussions so far have focused on corporate bond related solutions. I think our audience would be interested to know what you or your colleagues on the structure team have in terms of asset-backed related ESG solutions. So maybe we can just start off by how does a bond in the structure world qualify as a green bond?
We are starting to see some issuance across all the asset classes within the structured space. There is no broader regulatory requirements. However, the issuers are doing this on a voluntary basis, and we see this progressing into some sort of regulation at some point, in the near future. However, at this point, it's more about transparency. In terms of, the use of proceeds, the companies have to pick a project where they're improvising on any of those ESG categories, really. And, they have to be transparent again about the criteria for selecting this project and also the way they evaluate it. In terms of transparency, the other thing they look at is management of these proceeds. There should be an audit trail for what it is, the money is used for, and this is reported on a monthly or quarterly basis.
Okay.
Really all around reporting on a quarterly basis, and it is available to the investors whenever they request it.
Okay. So there's a number of different sub asset classes within structured products. And I was wondering which of those provides investors with the most green bond opportunities right now, or maybe said another way, which of those subsectors is providing the most supply?
As of now, the you know, the most issuance we're seeing is on the agency CMBS side. Those are public bonds that might, you know, some of the, most of the issuance on the ABS side gets limited with 144As. So, you know, agency CMBS might be one place where we can find a lot more issuance, followed by some issuance on the ABS side, you know, across different, you know, sub-asset classes within the ABS space, as well as a few opportunities on the non-agency CMBS also.
Okay.
But agency CMBS is the highest in terms of issuance.
Okay.
On the green bond side.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, so in the corporate world, over the past couple months, we've seen these sustainable linked bonds or green bonds generally trading flat to 5 basis points inside of conventional bonds. And I'm wondering, are you seeing something similar in the agency CMBS green bonds?
Yes. I mean, it's still very premature to say, you know, if you'll see tiering or a difference in terms of, so, you know, how they trade versus non-ESG bonds.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, the, you know, there's not a lot of premium for these bonds, at least for now. Over time, possibly that can happen.
Right. That's, we just don't have enough of a track record in the corporate world to make that statement yet. And it sounds like it's the same in your market as well.
Yes.
Okay. So one of the topics you spoke about back in April was the single asset, single borrower market. And so I'm wondering, with this market, they're generally backed by collateral, correct? And then secondly, sometimes I've seen that this collateral is considered lead or leadership in energy and environmental design. And so I guess my question is, are those bonds considered green?
Yeah, so we are starting to see some issuance in that space. The issuance on the single asset, single borrower side that is considered LEED, you know, LEED certified, is about 10% of that space. And if you look at the multi-borrower deals, that number drops to about 4%. So it's still small. And the green bond, you know, the bonds that are considered green are a subset of that LEED collateral.
Oh.
So it's a much smaller market. This year, we have seen only two deals on the non-agency CMBS side that are considered green.
Okay, that's really interesting. So you guys have to really do some searching to find bonds that would be considered green within the single asset, single borrower market. That's fair to
say.
Yes,
it is limited yet.
Okay. Okay, so why don't we conclude by updating us on just the general condition of the CMBS market. Maybe you could talk about how performance has been this year, how delinquencies have been trending, and what your expectations are for supply over the next several quarters.
CMBS, in terms of delinquencies, has done very well. We have seen delinquencies, you know, come down from about 6% to about 4.6% as of October, and we have seen improvement in a lot of the sectors, especially with occupancies, you know, remaining stable across multiple sectors, be it industrials, office, and we're seeing, you know, more people going into the office over time. That has been the trend, so that has helped some of the cash flows on these properties. And reflecting in the CMBS market as well, we are seeing a robust CMBS, you know, issuance and have a number of deals through the end of the year. And we believe that we have about 29 deals or so to prize in the next, you know, 6 to 8 weeks
wow.
of issuance through the end of the year. So it's pretty fairly busy, and that will keep, you know, spreads pretty much in a range of, you know, 5 to 10 basis points on either side of where they are currently.
Okay. Great, Mohammed. Thanks for all that information. Very helpful, as usual. So
sure.
We also thank you, the listener, for taking the time to listen to our podcast. If you have any questions, please reach out to your portfolio manager or our marketing team at aamcompany.com. During our next podcast, I'll be joined by Marco and a member of our investment team to discuss a timely issue affecting the fixed income markets. Thank you.